Blog Talk Radio.
It's 6:30 on a Sunday, and we are live. This is your weekly AA meeting with Arlo and Adam.
What's up, everybody? Welcome out to the AA meeting for a special Father's Day edition. I'm Adam. With me, as always, is Arlo. What is up, dude?
What's up, brother?
Not much, man. It's a special day out there.
It is. You're a father, so I'm going to say Happy Father's Day to you.
I appreciate it, man. I thank you.
I don't think I'm a father.
That you know of.
Not that I know. I mean, I might have one out there. One or two, I mean.
Right. You got yourself on that one.
Well, I got to do that. I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself, you know, who can you laugh at?
Right. Man, you're fresh off of a hot concert last night, dude.
Friday night,
excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. Great. Okay, I've been to a lot of concerts.
Right.
And I mean a lot of concerts. This was tied for number one.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how amazing it was. It's tied for number one. And people's like, well, who's it tied with? Okay, and I don't care. I love every genre of music.
Right.
I don't sit here and go, oh, I hate this kind, so yeah. Never talk to me about it. I don't care. I love music. I love a story. I love how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
It's not just the concert or the one band. It was Avenged Sevenfold and Metallica. They're tied up there at the number one spot.
Yeah.
They're tied with Garth Brooks.
Right.
And people can bash him, but I tell you, go watch him live. The reason I liked him live, because he made everyone in the arena feel like they were part of the show.
He's super genuine.
Yeah, just awesome. And so did Hatfield. Yeah. He did the same thing when the show was going on. He's pointing to people up there. And this is Texas Stadium.
Right.
I've been to football games there, and it's 120,000 people,
right?
Easily. I don't even know how many was there. All the nosebleeds way up there,
right,
were full.
Wow.
And I stood there and would just look while the lights were flashing, because I was on the field.
Yeah.
Coolest thing ever, because I've never been on the field at Texas Stadium.
Right.
Like I don't know which was – I don't know which
Did you
was,
feel like Romo?
Don't you got to bash my boys, dog. I still love Romo. I will love Tony Romo till the day I die. I don't care.
All right. Did you feel like Prescott?
I was actually going to try to if I could have found the Cowboys locker room, I could have found the home team locker room. I was going to just pretend like I was, and you know, I don't drink.
Right.
But I was going to pretend like I was drunk.
Yeah.
And go see if I could stagger and hide and walk in there. I'd have went live in like 2 seconds if I'd have snuck in there.
Drop to your knees.
I'm not worthy.
Exactly.
I'd have been on, dog. But I couldn't.
Yeah.
I was like, where is their line? I'm walking around and people looking at me like security. They're like, and of course, you know, they're like, what's this Mexican doing? Not Mexican. What are you talking about? Oh, they tried to deport me.
I was running down the hallway.
I'm telling you. But it's Avenged Sevenfold and Metallica are tied with. In all the concerts I've been to, they're tied for number one with Garth Brooks and AC/DC.
Right.
And when I seen AC/DC before I saw all them.
They're on the top of my bucket list. I want to see AC/DC so bad. I've never seen them in a huge AC/DC fan.
True story.
Yeah.
True story.
Okay.
That's when I had my long hair years ago before I donated it again. Right, what I'm about to do now again. I go to AC/DC.
Okay.
Right? I'm like 15, 20 rows deep on the floor, so I can't really see much.
Right.
Because they had chairs.
Yeah.
So you couldn't just, run up.
Yeah.
And it was a year we had an ice storm. So we got this ice storm.
Okay.
And, like, a lot of people didn't show up.
Yeah.
I mean, people were showing up, but there wasn't. And I'm sitting there just rocking out, me and my buddy Cheston O'Neill, my brother and my sister. And there's these two weird guys beside us. Like, I don't know, they just didn't fit in there. Like, they didn't look like they should be at an AC/DC concert.
Sure.
I'm jamming out. I'm rocking out. I'm having the greatest time of my life. And the one of the security guys is watching us. And I thought, man, he's about to throw us out or something, you know. And he walks up there, and he looks at me and my buddy Chester and those other two guys. He's like, four of you all?
Yeah.
And we're like, what? I didn't understand what he's saying. He goes, four of you all. And those guys are like, no, no, we're not with them. I said, yeah, four of us. And I point to my brother and sister.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, come with me. Moves us to the fifth row.
That's freaking awesome.
I'm literally right beside, beside the stage that they're running down, right?
Yeah.
Because the stage was like a T.
Right.
And all these girls are like pressed up by the stage, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're reaching up. And this is the coolest part. All these chicks are like reaching up for Brian Johnson, right?
Right.
And he's giving these girls five, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to take back to the backstage probably.
Yeah.
And I kind of snuck up in that crowd with them girls. I threw my hand up and he goes, I was like, yes. And he looks at me like, get this guy out of here. But it was the coolest part.
Did you start singing, I've got big balls?
Oh, yeah. Dude, you don't even know. I was like, well, I mean, he's either going to just blow it off or I'm going to get kicked out.
Right?
I'm going to get kicked. I didn't do anything wrong, but I didn't do anything right either. But the Metallica concert, dude, so freaking amazing.
Right.
Texas Stadium was just jam-packed. I mean,
yeah.
On the field anyways. That, you know, I'm a huge Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a dream just walking around down there.
Yeah.
I mean, they had no turf now. It was all concrete. Absolutely killed your knees.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, idiots just mosh pitting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I was way too old to even get close to that. I was like, oh, don't touch me.
And see, dude, that's, like, totally opposite of what I would expect from you. I would expect you just want to get in there and go beast mode and, like, all right, motherfucker, let me see somebody coming. You know, king of the mountains, got up on top. All right, let's go, bitches. Let's rock.
Well, because, you know, I boxed for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't do well with just shoving.
Okay.
It's not, and I'm not trying to, you know, sound like that guy that's like, oh, I'm super tough. No,
it's instinct. I mean,
it is. You were programmed.
Right.
In close quarter combat, that it's time to throw. I just don't like pushing. I don't like the big guy that tries to stare at me while he's doing it. Guess what, homeboy? I will roll you out there in that parking lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, stop. People, don't get near me.
Now, last week when you told me you were going to go see these people, I was telling you about Vince Sevenfold's stage.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have, like, all the big backdrop and all of that stuff?
No, they didn't.
They weren't a headliner either.
It was just raw. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
There was no big props from them.
Yeah.
They just went crazy singing all, you know.
Their whole catalog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the coolest part. It was real with them. It was just straight, you know, Metallica, of course, they're the headliners. They got pyrotechnics blowing up.
Yeah. Give me fuel, give me fire. Yeah, and Lars is back there melting. It's like, God, I hate these freaking pyros.
Shooting out, dude. And I'm like, it was easily... 200 feet away where the pyros were from us.
And you still feel it.
And I could still feel the heat coming off.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, my goodness. And I had this cool one that there was this flame that would run back and forth across the stage.
Yes.
And I was like, I would tell you what, that's my second time seeing Metallica.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's my second time. But the first time, I liked it. I was like, this is legit. You know, they're good.
Yeah.
They're awesome live. But this last time, complete different. Like, complete different feel. I don't know if it's because it was compared to 150,000 people in Texas Stadium compared to 20-something at BOK.
Yeah.
I don't know what the – you know, because I'm sure they're like – just like anybody. They're people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get more hyped if I got 120,000 people screaming and you feel the floor shaking.
Well, for me, that's why I absolutely love concerts is – It is so difficult not to get lost in the music.
Mm.
And especially when you're like in general admission, you're down there on the floor, you're in the crowd, everybody's just feeling, I mean, you sync up with everybody.
I did stiff arm some fool down that was trying to, I'm not trying to carry nobody that's body surfing.
Right.
And my buddy was about to get kicked in the head.
Oh.
And I said, you can just stiff arm. And I was like, my bad, dude. I was like, that's what I do. I don't, my bad.
Yeah.
You all right, kid?
Well, at least you like you owned it.
Yeah.
It's like some people, I mean, they'll like freaking catch somebody and then it's like, bitch.
Yeah, I was like, my bad, kid. Yeah. I'm not trying to let my buddy get sucker punched in the back of the head by your legs. Just going to throw that out there, Jimmy. Yeah, I mean, but all in all, dude, it was one of the funnest concerts and one of the most best experiences I've been through at a concert.
Yeah.
I mean, sung all the songs that everyone hear.
You're right.
You know, and it just, the other two that I mentioned, Garth and AC/DC, was the only other two that I got goosebumps in.
Yeah.
And this one gave me goosebumps.
Well, you mentioned Garth Brooks. Now, did you see the video that went viral this year? I'll see if I can pull it up without killing our stream. He was on there's a video that was circulating Facebook, and he was walking, playing his music, and he's playing on stage. And this guy, and I wouldn't peg him for a Garth Brooks fan. I mean, really? Now granted, most Garth Brooks fan, I mean, that's a hardcore country.
I'm a hardcore country.
Right. But he was there, and he was wearing a Garth, but he had like full tat sleeve. I mean, he looked metal. And he was holding up this sign that says, "You're the reason I learned how to play guitar."
That's awesome.
And what he did is he saw that sign. I'm trying to type as I'm telling the story.
Gotcha.
And he tells this guy, he's like, you play? He's like, yeah, I play. He's like, well, here you go. And he takes the straps off his guitar. He said, play this one. This is a good one. And he tosses that guy the guitar. He said, this is yours. And he tosses the guitar from the stage to this guy who's like three rows back. And the dude just like lose. I mean, he's like bawling.
Yeah, dude, you have to.
Oh, yeah.
That's an emotional moment.
And so he walks off stage while he's still telling this. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and tells that guy. He thanks that guy. And he's like, thank you for making me feel like I'm something.
That's awesome, dude.
And I was like, man, that is that's freaking class act. Can you imagine going to a concert and all right. Yeah, I've got bear with me, folks. Let me get us over here on the big screen and I'll get this all pulled up for you. But dude, yeah, can you imagine going to a concert and meeting not only seeing your hero play, but
getting that opportunity.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's totally amazing. And you know, it's things like that as an individual.
Right.
As a person, you can't teach.
Right.
You don't teach that kind of stuff. You know, that's in people.
Yeah.
You know, there's nice people and then there's even exceptionally nice people.
Here we go. Here's the video.
Well, you remember a few years back when he came here?
Yeah.
Remember he was down at that what's the dress place right down on Main Street?
Oh, you got me. That Cashmere Lane.
No, was it Cashmere he went to? I thought it was.
I didn't hear the story.
How did you not hear Garth Brooks came to town? Everybody was taking pictures, putting it on Facebook.
We were out of town that weekend.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We were on vacation. And then, everybody's like, everybody, you missed it.
Yeah. I was.
I've been to every show. Around. Now, 2 more to go. Waited 24 years to see you.
Yeah.
So are you 24
years old? Yeah. Dude, that dude is a metal kid.
Right?
Dude, that is awesome. Y'all got to watch the we're going to post this video on our Facebook page shortly. Really?
That was me on tour.
Y'all can hear the story going on right now.
Huh?
We can hear
this
song, right?
Yeah.
Dude, if you're going to play guitar.
Dude,
that is sick.
Freaking class act.
Dude, that is sick. Like, you just don't get that. Like,
look at this guy's face. Pure heaven.
I tell you what, man, I'm calling all my boys to meet me outside here because someone's going to try to take that.
Made his life, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Now,
awesome.
For those of you who are listening to us, you can follow our show on YouTube, and you can kind of you can watch what we're watching. Man, right there! Oh my gosh!
That's legit, man.
Let me rewind that. That's freaking awesome! Freaking class act,
that
man.
That's legit. That is, and like I said, you can't. People, so many people don't do that.
Right.
And it's easy to.
Well, I mean, especially when you're at that caliber, you're making millions and millions. I mean, I'm sure he's got like 20 cars, like Bentleys and all of this.
Yeah, dude's a jillionaire. Yeah. I mean, he's got more money. He'll never know what to do with.
Yeah. Well, that's just, oh my gosh. I almost wept whenever.
It's an emotional moment,
man.
Dude. Yeah. Especially you, because you're a big music lover.
Yeah.
So you know that kid's feeling.
Yeah.
Like I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge music lover.
Right.
But I'm not that emotionally attached to the music. Like,
sure.
Like, if that makes sense.
No, totally.
Like it does strike nerves in me.
Yeah.
But not like every song. There's nothing that, you know, I just don't, I don't sit there and just listen and say, oh, I appreciate the way that sounds.
Right.
You know, I'm just.
I get pretty sentimental. For me, I like to see gestures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to see me ball. Put some videos of me of like people, like service people coming home and surprising
dude.
Their family.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man.
That gets you. I don't care who you are. You have no soul. You have no soul if you don't cry when you see that. And you know, here's the thing, man.
Like someone jamming onions into your eye socket.
Oh, it's over.
Falling.
And I'll tell you what, man, if I ever get married.
Yeah.
It's going to be because I want to love like those people.
Oh,
you just see, and that's what the emotional part is.
Yeah.
It's raw, and you see the love between all those people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's truly amazing.
Yeah.
And like I said, I ever get married, it's going to have to be like that.
You know, that would be, for those of you who are listening to us live, or, those of you who are listening to us live, call in. We are a live show. You can reach us at 516-666-9510. Especially if you got a story of a surprise like that, I would love to hear it. Make me cry, people. I will do it. I'm not afraid.
He will.
Let me hear this. You don't even have to be a serviceman. Just something you surprised your significant other. Especially, let's do a special challenge. Let's do this one to all the females in our audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody who, or even the fathers, anyone who had a really good Father's Day surprise, let's hear those.
Yeah,
let's hear some
call
good
in.
Stories.
Let's hear some. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, we want to hear some
like
stories.
That.
We'll get you in live, and you can identify yourself. You don't have to identify, or you can email us at aameetingpodcast@gmail.com. We've also got a Facebook, facebook.com/aameetingpodcast, and we are on Twitter, aameetingpod. Let's hear those stories, man. We want to read them out, share them with the world. Somebody touched your life, so why don't you share that experience?
Exactly. And you know what? That's what's wrong with the world is people don't share enough.
No.
Everything's so I don't know how to put it, just with no emotions. People don't express emotions enough in the world anymore.
I agree 100%.
And don't get me wrong, I was that way for a long time, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I was that way for a long time, dude. I was the you remember, I was a tough kid.
Yeah.
I was the only guy, like, I wasn't the only guy, I'm sure, like, millions and millions, but
yeah,
I was the guy that, you know, had to be tough,
mm-hmm.
wore an old garage t-shirt, you know, muscle garage or something, you know, and my blue jeans and my Harley boots,
right,
you know, and then you realize how stupid that is.
Well, I think people just take themselves so seriously anymore.
That is true.
And
that is true.
They don't want someone to see them smiling. They don't want to see them in a
smiling
manner. Yeah, right?
Smiling is my favorite.
Smiling is infectious.
It is.
I mean, somebody with this just the biggest on their face, like their whole face lights up. That's going to make you smile.
It makes someone feel
like
good.
Your baby videos where they're laughing. And
oh,
they're
dude,
laughing.
I love baby laughing. When I'm having a horrible day, I can tune in to YouTube, baby laughing. Make my day. Now, as long as I don't have to touch them and they're not pooping or I ain't got to change those diapers, they can laugh all day.
Dude, people think I'm so – I feel so bad because I love my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But
I hope you do.
I don't care much for other people's kids. And, like, family is one thing, but, like, strangers or friends and stuff. And it's not that I'm just a bad person. It's just – I'm borderline germaphobe, folks.
Oh, I mean,
and I had a really good friend of mine a while back, and we had just gotten my wife just got pregnant again with our second child. so it was over about 6 years ago. Well, we're in Walmart, and he starts to hand me his kid, and he's like, "Hey, man, you got to get back in practice. You want to hold him?" Because he had just had a baby. I was like, "Nah, I'm good, man." And I was like, "No, thanks. I'm all right. I didn't wash my hands." And, you know, because I look at this little guy, and he is a cute kid. And nothing
whatever,
against the kid.
Whatever. You
no.
You straight up call that kid an SOB.
No. But
y'all hear that first here. Adam called little kid an SOB.
You see the kid, and then all of a sudden you just see the boogers running down his nose and the drool coming down his face. And I'm like, "Oh, my God."
Have you ever watched that Simpsons? Where Mr. Burns makes the casino.
No.
And he becomes a germaphobe. And he's looking at people and, like,
mm-hmm.
It starts zooming in. Every time he looks at him, he starts seeing microscopic germs crawling.
That's what it was for me, man. And I feel so bad because people, I mean, like, nice kids, I mean, they're innocent and they don't know any better. And so they come up and they're wanting to, like, hold my hand or play or something. I'm like, "Oh, let's get you some wet wipes first."
I'll tell you what. holding babies.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifies me.
You're afraid you're going to break them.
Because they're so tiny.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just like, "Hello, tiny person." I'm like, "We will get through this. Y'all don't have to watch the YouTube video."
Yeah.
What I'm doing. But that's it. I'm just like,
does it?
Like, when I first held my niece was in the middle of a bed.
I just visualized.
So I could drop her. She'd boom, bounce right back up and laugh. And nothing's wrong.
I visualized Wreck-It Ralph with a baby.
It's pretty close.
"I'm going to wreck it."
That's pretty close. That is pretty close. Except I'm a lot more charming.
Yeah, yeah, it's.
But, and humble.
But for me it is, I mean, dude, it's like when you see like the most beautiful woman in your life that you've ever seen, and then you're looking at her and then you get closer and she's like got a booger hanging out. Or she didn't smile and then she smiles and it turns out it looks like she's been flossing with a jump rope or something, you know, just like bad gaps or like green teeth, discolored teeth, you know.
And you know why she wasn't smiling?
yeah, because she heard this podcast and out of making her self-conscious about her teeth.
Okay, but, you know, I can look past a girl's
yeah
teeth, as long as they're not like missing any.
Yeah.
Like, even like, and I mean missing, I mean like valuable ones, like the
right
ones.
Well, for me, the smiles and the teeth are kind of a big deal. And I don't have, like, flawless. Like, I get lectured every time I go to the dentist, you know. But when you walk, you make a girl smile, and then those pearly whites come out.
Yeah,
and that big,
that's magic.
Oh,
that's
man.
Magic, man.
I don't care if she's topless, man. You're not going to be able to look
you,
past
you're
that
looking
smile.
Right at the face.
Yeah.
The smile in
yeah
the eyes, and it's over.
So
both of those are glowing.
Ladies, you get tired of guys staring at your boobs, smile more. They'll look straight at your face.
I'll tell you
I
what,
promise.
Though. When you look at the boobs, even if they're smiling at that moment, you probably still ain't going to pay attention because you done lost the war. You know, so you done lost that battle. And 90% of times,
yeah,
if you're looking at her boobs, she's not going to smile at you at that moment. She's still giving you this face.
That smile went away and so did my chances of seeing it.
Done. Done, though. Go home, kid. Go home. That's a rookie mistake. That's a rookie mistake. You learned that in junior high. You should have learned that in junior high, son. That's when I sneak in. That's why I smile and wink.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, when I smile and wink, you get that light up.
That's,
you'll get
that
light
up. Awesome.
But when I'm in a bar, I'll look at one, like at a table next to it.
Uh-huh.
And I look, and you make sure you double take. Because
yeah,
they're panning too. I don't care if you're the ugliest dude in the bar.
Yeah.
At some point, they're going to look at you.
Really?
And when,
I swear.
Okay.
Watch everybody in the bar. At some point, they're going to notice everybody around them.
Sure. Yeah.
So when you're beside them at the table, you'll see them do this. You'll see their head turns. You'll see their head turns. Kind of sit there and use your peripherals. Catch it, turn, look, bam, eye contact.
All right, let's do this. I got to see this. All right, I want the camera is the girl. Show our list, our viewers, the Arlo.
Oh, let's see if I can do it because that camera's not as pretty as what I try to talk to. All right, game face, game time. Come on, suck it up, champ. Y'all gotta watch this. I'm trying to get my mindset right. I'm trying to.
Hold on, let me find some Eye of the Tiger real quick.
I'm telling you.
So music's playing.
You know, the bar's happening. You're sitting like this.
Drinks are clinking.
You're having a great time with your buddies. You're like, oh, dude, you remember blah blah blah. And the thing is, women love when you're having a great time.
Yeah,
because they won't come over there and ruin it. I'm just joking, ladies. I'm just joking. But you're sitting there, and you're doing this.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you catch her panning.
Sure.
She's the camera.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, she's looking,
dude.
Yeah. Okay. And you can talk to you like, hey, dog. You know, she's checking. Yep, she's checking. That's it.
And that's how you do it, folks. And see, I can't do it because then I'm like, hey.
Always do. I'm still like this. I'm just like, give them a quick one. Let them know you're looking. Hand back away. It either they laugh at you. Even if they laugh, you still might have a chance because they might think it's cute and a goofy.
Right.
One. And that's the trick. And I'm like, people are like, man, how come you don't slow down? This is why.
Yeah. Well, and see, for me, I always worry about the worst. And so I'm like, oh, so like if I wink at this chick and I actually get a bye with a winking without making the clicking noise. What if she, and I talked myself out. I was like, well, what if she's not feeling it? Or what if I'm like totally just creep this chick out? And what I got to realize is that worst case scenario, I leave with the same thing I came in with.
Nothing. Exactly.
And that's what that's what I should have been telling myself for all those years.
See, I shoot the smile after I wink.
I got you.
Yeah, because after you get her attention.
Yeah, because then she's like,
because then I make sure the dimples rock.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you look like. You got a great smile.
Yeah.
They're all attracted to that.
There you go.
They're attracted if they find you, I don't want to say even approachable.
Right.
Because you might have Leonidas over there in the corner. But dude looks like a straight dick.
Well, and don't act like you're not sitting there with your drink and flexing the pecs and the butt, you know, while you're leaning over there.
No, I know. I don't have arms.
It's easy to wink whenever you're having to stretch over the shoulders of boulders, man.
I don't have enough there to flex. There's my humbleness trying to come out tonight.
Yeah, right.
But I do, and that's it. You know, like I said, my biggest thing is the smile. I love shooting that smile.
Yeah.
Because you'll know when you shoot that smile, sometimes they light up like Christmas trees.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is...
Dude, you're in at that point.
And the funny thing is at that moment, you're probably the only guy that shot her a smile. Most of them are doing the... I'm cool. Let me kind of halfway check you out without checking you out. We're going to make eye contact, but I'm going to give you that cocky shithead face look that says, you should be noticing me.
You know, while we're on the topic, and this is kind of an unexpected life lesson, and I'm one of the worst about this. Now, I had a good friend, and he was really griping because he wasn't having any luck with the ladies. Okay. I have no idea why he was asking me, because that's like asking a blind guy if he's seen somebody. It just I'm not the person you want to ask. Well, anyway, but I did notice my friend, he never fixes himself up. And he always goes in with like an old t-shirt and jeans.
Can't do that.
And like shoes that he's been just mowed the lawn in, you know, I mean, he's not clean. Mm-hmm. Didn't fix his hair, shave. He's got this stubble going on. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, you're going to get what you give. And if you go in and you're seeing this attractive person and you're not putting forth any effort to like...
Seeing a notion.
Right.
I had one girl tell me the reason she came up to talk to me was because, not because I smiled at her,
not because of anything, because I had nice shoes on. And she told me the shoes are the foundation of what she says is if you're trying.
I never knew that.
And I was like, I didn't really pay attention. I really didn't care. I don't even know how I remember that.
Well, I've seen you when you go out, dude. When anytime you go out, you're really you're a sharp dressed man.
I try
so,
to be. Even if it's trying to be a hard ass look,
right?
It's still slick.
Well, I mean, you put it together. Your clothes are clean. Yeah. Everything matches, yeah. You've always got nice, clean shoes on.
Yeah, every time, even if they're on my old rugged Harley boots, because they go with that look that's going.
Right. Yeah.
I always tell people, I've had those Harley boots since I bounced at the Cubby Hole.
Really?
Like I can't walk in rain. I don't care. They're like my dream shoes, dude. Like, I can never find another pair of those.
See, I never notice shoes at all, guys or girls. The only time I notice shoes is, like, when they've got them put up, like, on a table or something.
Uh-huh. Like, I don't know. I notice a lot of shit, man.
Those sure are some nice shoes.
I didn't even title this. I don't know what I'm doing. Why is that just turning red?
Your hand was over it.
You shut your face. We're going to go live right now, ladies and gentlemen, on Facebook. See if we can get the fan interaction.
There we go.
I can't see myself. Why is my camera all fuzzy? There we go.
Maybe
because it's not on me. It straightened that whenever it turned to me.
Well, see, there you go. You tend to straighten people out.
I do. That's what I do. Quit slide over, man. I ain't scared.
Man, look at. Well, my mic's over here. But
oh, okay.
Heck yeah, man. Look, we've already got people going on. Folks, we are going live here, and
we got a lot of watchers already. I wonder if we got this many live listeners.
I don't know, man.
Hey, Kara's watching again. Let's go say hi to her.
So you're so shameless.
Whoa. What's that? This guy just trying to call me out on anything.
That was
I'm gonna bust him up. There's no running anymore. We stuck in this little bitty room.
So if
what
you
up,
guys
Big Zeke?
And he covers my face. See how you are, guys?
Hey, we're gonna try to make you happy too though. Okay, go.
There we go. Now they can see my ugly mug. But, we do live, folks. We're trying to pull people in so they see what we're all about. And we are on Arlo's page, so you can find him on Facebook, Arlo Jumper.
Hey, she said, hey, back. How's your night? I'm so goofy.
Yeah, you are, dude.
I don't even care.
So for those of you that are seeing us on live, you can reach us at 516-666-9510. We are a live show. We'll plug you in there so everybody else can hear you. Or you just comment and chat right there. We'll try to catch your messages.
Hey, you know, we always appreciate you watching, Big Zeke.
And Zeke called in last week, and we appreciate you, Zeke. And anybody can call in. It doesn't matter if it's what we're talking about or just
anything,
something random.
Just call in and let's just shoot the shit.
Well,
I'm in a foul mouth mood tonight, man. It's going rated R instead of PG-13.
Yeah, okay. I put it PG-13, so I think we're okay, but we may get a. I mean, you never know.
I need to go buy me a ball cap because, like, my hair.
A what?
A ball cap.
Okay.
What in the world did you hear?
You're talking about being foul mouthed, and then you're talking about, I need to go buy. I thought you said a ball gag. I'm like, what the heck?
What in the world are you?
Are you trying to fix the foul mouth?
No, dude. The mouth.
I'm deaf. Let me turn
you
up
are
my mic.
You are partially deaf, though.
Yeah, this is true. I'll turn up my headphones, folks. Sorry.
Because I'm so tired of already messing with my hair, but I done told everybody I was going to donate my hair, so now I can't back out of it.
Yeah.
And, like, right now, like, I can feel it probably starting to get curly.
Yeah.
And I know, like, it's already getting annoying. Like, I can feel it touching my ears.
Well, see, I've got short hair, too. I've had short hair
with
ever since
Bob Dungan.
High school. And I used to have long hair. It used to be down to my shoulders.
Yeah, but you look white trashy as hell.
I did, dude. Biggest dork ever. And I was, like, really skinny then. And I was nothing but pale face, large nose, and long hair. And I didn't, and I did the total 90s long hair, not like just grow your stuff out like an Indian, but like shaved it all on the side.
Oh, you know, Bob, same old same. Yeah, you are so white trash. So white. I love getting people to interact through here. This Facebook Live is so fun.
Yeah.
Facebook Live is so fun.
But, yeah, so, but ever since I went short, I cannot stand my hair to get more than like a couple inches long.
Really?
If I can like get a handful,
I enjoy it being long. Like I dig my long hair because it gets really curly and
right.
Chicks dig it. Like they all want to straighten it or play with it or something, you know. And I'm like, of course. But the growing out process annoys the shit out.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll tell you what, I will have the nicest hair because I take care of it when because I'm donating it.
Yeah.
So whatever little kid's getting this, you're going to have one of the nicest wigs I will donate.
Nicest locks. That's locks of love, man. Get the conditioner and all the herbal essences and all that
man,
stuff.
Man, I'm telling you, it'll look like a girl's restroom for like a girl's bathroom for like the next year. Like there's hair care products just everywhere. There's leave-in conditioners and
wow.
I'm telling you.
You go all out.
Well, I always say, if you're going to do something, you do it right.
Yeah, that's
true. Whether it's just grinding in the gym, whether it's grinding at your office, whether it's growing your hair out to donate. If you're going to do it right. That's a life quote.
No judgment here, man. I'm open-minded. You
that's what I hear.
You primp and Chris all you want. Make one ball gag joke, and now it's all 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Adam. 50 Shades of Richmond.
Yo, a lady gonna whoop both our ass.
Yeah, totally.
Oh shit, man! This is a life though, dude. I love doing this, and I'm gonna start shooting it. I need to start really talking, trying to get more guests on,
right?
Like, people we can interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, you know, I did. You know, the last one we did got to Vegas,
right?
There's no reason this one can't get us.
Sure, dude, that'd be freaking awesome. Now I'm not sure how we're gonna work next week because we'll be in separate time zones. That dawned on me just now because my flight gets there at 2:30 and it'll be 4:30 here. And so I'll still have to go, but we'll figure it out, folks. We'll put it on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll get that. That's
next week's going to be a special time, most likely.
Oh yeah.
But we'll still do it. I'll be live from my, hotel room. So, we'll do it up because,
won't be no videos though.
No.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell y'all, he has to do it all because people's like, how come you don't? Because I don't know computers.
Hopefully there's no videos. I mean, it is
y'all
Vegas, so.
Y'all do not want me messing with this. It will be the worst. Adam will come back and his stuff will be ruined. The show would be done for like 6 months as we're trying to get everything back together.
Well, we're back just to call in, folks. And
I'm going to tell you something after this show. I can't say it on air.
All right. I got to hear that later.
It's going to be bad. You're going to be cracking up.
You're getting better, though. Getting more text. How you're handling this live very well.
Oh, dude, I handle live all the time. Good. I told everybody I need my own reality show after that concert Friday night.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start going live everywhere. Next time I go to the bar and I two step with a girl, I'm gonna go live.
Dude, I can't two step. I cannot dance at all. I couldn't carry a tune or rhythm in a bucket, man.
Man, you give me a two step and I can two step my ass off.
Yeah,
but it's funny. You're gonna laugh. You're gonna be like, I never expected that.
Yeah,
but. Not only can I two-step, I can foxtrot, I can waltz.
There's nothing wrong with that, dude.
Oh, I would have figured you'd crack a joke on that one.
Well, I mean, you're talking about, like, the impressing the ladies.
Exactly.
Now, you guys go to, like, the opera or the ballet, or you go somewhere fancy or a ball or something.
And one thing I love doing, I love playing dress-up.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to take, and this is going to sound goofy and weird, maybe. I would love to take a girl on like a night where I can go, like, reserve a table somewhere.
Yeah.
And go to something like that downtown Tulsa at the arts area.
Really nice, swanky.
Just cool, you know, just cool.
Well.
And in the night, like, at the Mayo at that bar, like, 30 stories up above the town.
Yeah.
That's gangster right there.
Let me tell you, and guys, it's really cheap. It's not expensive at all. Nowhere near.
take your girl to the ballet, especially in Tulsa, go or the ballet or the opera or even a play, a musical or something. I don't know. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm freaking $1 million when I'm in a suit, man.
Oh, dude, you don't even know.
You strap on a suit and, you know, the lady gets in a nice dress and she's feeling pretty. The hair's all done up and she's got the makeup.
But you got to make sure that suit fits you like a glove. I see some dudes that put on suits and they look like clowns.
Thanks for not calling my name out there, Arlo. But, yeah, man, you get you a nice tie and everything. And then, and especially if she appreciates, like, she's got nice taste.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, holy shit, no guy would ever volunteer to take me to the ballet or opera or anything like that.
No, so Karen said Michael Jackson moon trotting. That's an inside joke.
There you go.
Oh, that's an inside joke. I told her, she said she could dance. I said, well, we're going to do a karaoke because I can sing. Funny thing is, I just said that because I can't sing for shit.
Dude.
I can't sing.
I will never.
But I'm an entertaining motherfucker.
I will never do karaoke again. Never. So.
Why? I love karaoke.
So there I was. We were down there. We were at Cubbyhole. We were drinking.
Back in the day.
I was playing some pool.
And hey, Levi, what's up, brother? Shane Little? Keep going,
man. Had quite a few to drink, and I had some really, really good friends, but they're pranksters. And so, when I drink, dude, I sing. And I can't turn it off. I just don't freaking care. So, man, I sing when I drink. Well, I'm sitting there singing, and I've done karaoke a few times, and I know they always killed my mic whenever I got out. I know.
You were that bad.
I was that bad.
That's horrible.
You get out there.
I'm not that bad.
And, I always pick safe songs. So stuff like Friends in Low Places, and that was my jam. And, like, other stuff that, like, everybody in the bar would sing.
Everybody would sing with you. I got you.
Well, you ever seen those videos where the guy stage dives and everyone parts?
That was
me doing karaoke. So I get up there and I get that mic.
Sings.
Nobody sings.
That's bad.
And so I'm saying,
I'm not that bad. Everyone loves me.
Right. I get out there and drunk and just go way too deep. And as deep as I could on my voice there. And so all of a sudden, you know, some other people started singing and I noticed my mic faded out. I was like, thank you. I'm done.
Well, it pissed me off.
Yeah.
I don't care how bad. There's worse people out there than me. Last time we were at the Elks.
Yeah.
And we went karaoke.
Uh-huh.
The Elks, yes. And we were like the only people that keep singing.
Wow.
And the funny thing is we were like, it was me and my buddy, I call him Cherokee Jesus.
Yes.
And we were like, the guy would call us up there, and he's like, Cherokee Jesus and the Banditos. So we had a group name already. And then what's bad, man, is they're like, oh, those are Indian Mexicans. Oh.
Oh,
what's
man
up, Alonzo? Hey, Roy's watching. What's up, bro?
They're the Mexicanians.
Mexicanians.
But, yeah, so I did this, and then, like, a couple months later, my friends, assholes, they waited until I was drunk. And
got you up there again.
Yeah, you know, $20, Mr. 20 bucks is 20 bucks. And I was like, dude, I'll give you 20 bucks. Let's go down to Town Branch and sing karaoke. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And he's like, no, just Friends in Low Places, dude. Just go sing. 20 bucks. And my other friend's like, you know what? I'll throw 20 on that too. I was like, oh, shit. That's double the 20. That's 40 bucks. All right. I'll make an ass out of myself for 40 bucks. So we go down there. And I was like, all right. I was getting myself ready. I'm just chugging beer. I was like, oh, I got to get my game face on.
What
so I don't care.
What's funny is I don't drink.
Yeah.
So I just randomly and willingly go make an ass out of myself.
Yeah. So they call my name. I go up there, I get my mic, and I'm ready. I'm like, you know, get the pose, you get the lyrics ready in my head, even though they're on the screen. And then all of a sudden, when I think about you, I touch
myself.
I was like, you freaking asshole. I hand him the mic and I walk off. I wasn't about to sing it. Well, they got the waitress and two or three other people in on it.
And so they're coming over there and they're like singing, they're trying to jam this microphone in my face and trying to get me sing it. So I was drunk anyway. So I sang this shit.
You didn't care.
No. But oh man. So that was the last time I ever did karaoke, man. Because the time before that, I sang and everybody went quiet. Mm-hmm. And then the next time they switched the songs, like something super embarrassing on me.
That should be though, man. Like,
nah.
Like, I tell you what,
it's a good bar story.
If you want to, I mean, like, we were joking about singing karaoke, and she said she can moonwalk, and I laughed. And
yeah.
She said, it's not really a walk, it's more of a trot. So I don't really know what that is, and I want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it captures the attention.
Right.
But if you want to sing karaoke, what I'm about to get to is if you want to sing karaoke and you want people to sing along,
yeah,
you got to sing those songs that everyone wants to sing too. I'll tell you one. Friends in Low Places was a good one.
Yeah.
But nah, if not, everybody's not drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
I will tell you one, no matter where you are, no matter how drunk the crowd is, they will always sing with you.
Oasis, Wonderwall?
Oh, that too, but that's, yeah. No, not if
or
not.
Or Champagne Supernova.
No.
Nope. Okay.
Journey.
Oh,
stop
okay.
Believing.
There you go.
I could be walking in the middle of a store, that song comes on, and you can start a karaoke round just right there with everybody.
You know,
we were at this ghost tour in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
Me and my niece and my brother and his girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
And we're walking around town. This guy's giving us a tour, showing us all these haunted places in the town. And over at Branson Landing, they had this tribute band.
Okay.
Right there, we're like two blocks away, and Don't Stop Believing Him.
Oh man!
And we all just stopped and started singing. It was a cool moment, dude. Like
right.
Stopped right there in the corner. No one, people's walking by would stop and sing with us. And it was like the coolest. That's why I tell everybody, you don't have to know how to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tennessee Whiskey's a good one too. My buddy Melvin Flutie says.
Or you don't have to call me darling.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too. That's, yeah. that's a good drunk one, though. Everybody drunk will sing that one.
Well, see, the funny thing about Champagne Supernova is no one will sing the whole song. They only sing that chorus. And so it gets super, super quiet, and then, where were you when we were getting high?
Yeah, it just blows up and erupts out of this big ball of what we all used to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I absolutely love singing karaoke. I can't sing for shit, but...
Right.
When people ask, I'm like, oh, I'm amazing. Everyone claps when I'm done. I don't know if it's because I'm finished or I'm
great. Well, that's usually me. It's like, he's done. But.
Oh, man. You know what? We're fixing to kill this live feed here. I enjoy everybody watching. We always enjoy everybody out here. It's Adam Acacia. Hey, Damien, what is up, man? That's my little brother Damien Hall watching. Man, we're going to let him watch for a little bit. I ain't talked to this cat, and he moved to Missouri. He's making me proud, getting his doctorate.
Right.
He's going to be he's kind of like Batman. He's part scientist and super athletic, so I consider him like Batman.
That's awesome.
You didn't throw him in. Hey, what's up, Bubba? Love you, Bubba. Just letting you know.
You didn't throw him down any wells or anything.
No, what's funny is I met him like 7 times.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was boxing at the time.
Uh-huh.
I have the world's worst memory because every time I got hit, like, you know, it messes up your head.
Right.
And we were pretty competitive at that moment and trying to, you know, do things that I probably – I loved it. I can't say I shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I was out boxing at the time, and I met him at Club FX. He was DJing.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, what's up? And I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a new DJ.
Yeah.
My head was all cloudy forever.
Right.
And he comes by and he goes, it is Dr. Batman. That is what you're going to be called. Hey, you still got your, I'll text you later. Have a conversation with him. But, so we get, he comes by and he's like, hey, what's up, man? I was like, and he was under 21. He tries to walk down to the bar, and I grabbed him. I was like, where you going, Junior? And he's like, oh, and I threw him out the side door. I was like, good try. And he comes back around, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, dude. I was like, oh, I'm lit at this moment. I'm lit. And I'm like, I told you not to walk. And I'm just walking. I'm losing. And Kevin, the owner, jumped in. He's like, yo, that's our DJ. And I was like, oh, my bad. Why didn't you say so, man? He's like, dude, I met you 2 days ago. I was like, when? He's like, Monday night?
You know, I think my dad can relate to this story.
And so I'm sitting there, right? He comes up and, like, for, like, 2 weeks straight, he come by and he's like, hey, and I'm like,
who are you? He's like, DJ. I was like, oh, Dante.
Yeah.
He's like, Damien. I was like, oh, yeah, him too. Let him go down the bar. He come back by. He's like,
so something you would say.
Like, he comes back and he's like, I was like, hey. He's like, hey, what's up? I was like, hey. And he's like, I'm like, can I help you? He's like, I'm the DJ. I was like, oh, Donovan. He's like, Damien. I was like, yeah, him too. Go ahead. Like a month, 2 weeks to a month. That's out. And
holy
I,
crap.
And what's funny, then we became like best friends. Like, now he's like my he's family. He's family now.
Yeah.
I mean, I kill for that dude. I damn near kill for that dude. Being that dude, we could sit here and have a 5-hour show about the dumbest stories of me almost killing people for him.
I believe it.
Like we walked around and we were like mobsters, dude. It was like he was a mouth and I just go punch him. Yeah, I was like, whoa.
I can totally see that.
I'm like Christopher Walken on Joe Dirt. Whoa, you're talking to my man wrong.
You got a tone,
the wrong tone. Talk to him like that again, I'm going to stab you in the face with a soldering iron. Is your mama so?
That's not bad, dude. That's
bad. He just put another one down. He said you should introduce me as DJ Metro.
Okay.
And that's funny because this chick comes up to me, and I used to do this a lot to people. And
yeah.
It might aggravate some people. A lot of people's gonna laugh, but it was just for laughs. But this chick comes up and she's like, "Who's the new DJ?" And I was like, "Oh, Damien." She's like, "Yeah, he's hot." And I was like, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh yeah, he's gay too."
Oh God.
Hang on. And she's like, is he really? I'm like, yeah, look how he dresses. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, if you just keep telling people and keep feeding them, they're going to believe whatever you say.
You asshole.
And I'm like, didn't you hear his name? They call him DJ Metro, you know, metrosexual. And she's like, oh, my God, I never. And I'm just like, girl, I. And then what's funny is, like, I completely forgot I said that. And we're talking. He's like, dude, some chick came up to me. I was like, hey, I didn't know you were gay. And I'm like, I said, who the fuck said that? And I got all irritated. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really? And he's like, yeah, dude. And I was like, we handle that. Don't worry. And then I walk off. I go to the kitchen. I come back. I said, man, that's my bad, dog. That was me. That I'll take care of it. I said, man, what are you do too dumb, man? I was like, that's what happens when you get hit in the head for 10 years, man, you know.
And folks, he don't drink. That's the sad
part. Yeah. Thing to Roy. You remember Roy?
Yeah, I remember Roy.
That was my go-to when I'd mess with people.
Oh, God.
I mean, and it's funny because it's like deja vu. It happened to Damien like 5 years later. Roy, it happened one night. We were at the old cubby hole.
Yeah.
This little old cute girl comes up.
I remember that. I remember that. Oh, my God. His face was so red.
She comes up. She's like, are you gay? And he's like, no. And she's like, that's not what I hear. Bounced up. And then we're sitting there playing Madden on my buddy's couch one night right before we go to the bar. And he's like, man, some girl, little bitty cute, hot little blonde girl came up to me and said, oh, I didn't know you were gay. Try to introduce me to one of her gay friends. And I was like, are we talking about her gay friend? I'm like, what? I'm not gay. And I was like, I said, man. And I was boxing at this time too. And I said, so that's going to be always my go-to. That's why I remember all that memory's been beat out of it. But I look and I said, man, that's messed up. I said, don't worry, we handle this. And then we kept playing. I said, ah. Oh. I said, blonde. Yeah, real pretty hot, kind of short,
yeah.
Petite. He's like, yeah. I said, oh, man, that was me that told her. My bad. I'll fix it.
Moral of the story, if Arlo ever looks at you and says, don't worry, man, we take care of this.
I probably started it.
And he started. Oh, that's so bad. Well, and see, that's funny because we were when we first did this podcast, or we first did video, and I'd never watched myself on video before.
It's true.
And so after the show,
oh my God!
I'm just joking.
You left that over. Keep going.
And I watched the video because I was checking, make sure all the audio was. I was like, man, I've got a lot of mannerisms that make me kind of wonder. So the sad part is, if you ever said that about me, nobody would second guess it. Because
if y'all want to hear the conversation, what Adam really means, he said he's never really watched himself on video.
because we're watching each other on our YouTube that we're recording.
Yeah.
And Adam, what he means, he didn't come out and say it, so I was going to come out and say it. Then he goes,
yeah.
I never noticed I had such gay mannerisms. I was like, what are you talking? He's like, watch me on camera. And I was like, I never noticed that. It's a little feminine. Some of those. Yeah.
So we've been working on him lately.
It was close to that. Like, I try to be cool. I try to, just sit here and look like I know, like I've been here before, And yeah. Adam was all like, oh my God, I'm super happy that we're doing a show.
That's so awesome.
Oh, I never noticed that either until you pointed that out. I was like, that's just Adam.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, we got a lot of people still, a few people still watching. Y'all's watching. We're fixing to change the subject to some stuff that a lot of people's been talking about lately.
Right.
So I got to cut the feed probably here in a minute. So if y'all want to call in and talk, because we're fixing to switch over to, we're going to start talking about.
Get the show moving.
Yeah, get the show moving. We're going to start talking about the Mayweather-McGregor that's coming up. That just got signed. We're fixing to talk about the Kovalev-Ward rematch. That was super surprising to me. But anyways, we're fixing to kill this feed. If you all want to call in, Adam, drop that number one more time.
Phone number is 516-666.
Pick up sticks.
9510. Check out our Facebook page, AA Meeting Podcast on Facebook. And we've got a link on there so you can tune into the show live. Or, as always, the video will be uploaded first thing in Monday morning.
Yep, so get ready to call in because we're fixing to talk about the fight stuff that everyone loves to argue about, especially me. Anyways, appreciate everybody listening in, watching in. Facebook, show's still going to keep going. Facebook Live, we out.
That's right. And so you fine folks are already where you need to be, so just keep the seats, keep your headphones in, and do what you got to do. We appreciate everyone who tunes in. Once again, the phone number is 16-666-9510. If you got something to contribute, something you want to talk about, hell, if you even got a good bar drinking story or a prank you played on your friends, give us a call, give us a shout out. So yeah, dude, this fight was pretty badass last night,
dude.
I actually watched it this afternoon. Whenever you were talking about
it, it was intense, man. I knew it was gonna be an intense matchup.
Yeah,
I honestly thought. We'll discuss Kovalev-Ward first.
Mm-hmm.
Kovalev-Ward, the first one was, in my opinion, controversial.
Okay.
I thought Kovalev won the first 4 out of 6 rounds.
Okay.
With a knockdown round, which gives him an extra point, which is considered like winning 2 rounds in 1.
Mm-hmm.
So easily right then, in my opinion, it should go no less than a draw.
Okay.
Right. No less than a draw. And somehow every judge gave it to Andre Ward, with one of the judges giving it a landslide.
Now, what was your prediction before we get into
my
the fight?
My prediction for the fight, I thought Kovalev was going to end him in the 10th.
Okay.
I call Kovalev in the 10th because Sergey can hit like 2 tons of bricks, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this dude just unreal. I mean, people wish to hit that hard when you box.
Right.
But I'll tell you what killed him. I mean, everybody's got their judgments. Everybody's got all their whatever you want to call it, insight.
Mm-hmm.
What killed him, in my opinion, was whether you win or lose, when you're fighting a top-notch fighter, when you're fighting a guy that's world-class, like that top of the line, dude comes get it just like you, and you didn't change anything from the last time.
That's what I was going to say. Ward did his homework, man.
Ward did do his homework. He was super, super ready.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm about to talk about the little bit of controversy left in this one. Ward came out, and I'll tell you what. They said Kovalev said he got tired in the first one, is why he started dragging toward the end of the fight. Did he get tired? Yes, he looked tired in the first one, but I think it was just because of the body shots. Body shots wear you down. I don't care who you are. Body shots will wear you out. But at the same time, the second fight, Ward did the same thing. Ward came out, was working that body.
And Kovalov said, oh, I changed up my nutritionist and my strength coach. Okay, well, you had the same strength coach for 30-something fights.
Okay.
I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to start watching how to guard that body.
Mm-hmm.
And worrying about little, you know, when he's going to the body, he's opening that head. And all it showed to me what Kovalov had is a 1-2. Mm-hmm. He had no hook behind it. He had no uppercut behind it. There was times I'm yelling at the TV because, you know, I used to train people.
Right.
Ward would put his hands up, do this little Mike Tyson movement. You have to watch the video, watch it. And I'm yelling, uppercut, uppercut. A man dips his head that low, you make sure that he pays for it and never dips his head down there again.
Okay.
He didn't know that. He would throw 1-2s
mm-hmm.
and catch him off the side of those gloves.
And this is the first fight, right?
This is the second fight.
Okay, this one was last night. Okay.
And I'm like, his jab was not effective. You got a guy that's moving backwards. He chased him. You cut the ring off on a guy that moves backwards. You got to pin him. And if you got a guy that's moving backwards the whole fight, you got to come 4-7 because
mm-hmm.
he ain't coming half step.
Right.
So you got to stay 2 steps ahead of him.
Right.
And that's what people don't get. And I'm like, dude, you got to cut. I'm yelling, cut the ring off.
Yeah.
Cut the ring off.
Uh-huh.
Because what you can end up doing is as you're cutting it, you get that half step, whichever way you're going, you can throw a hook, and we call it the old cattle herding tactic.
Okay.
Cattle herding means if he's rolling out to his, let's say he's rolling to his right, which would be your left. You finally get the half step over him. You come with a hook, boom, to you can hit the shoulder, the arm, the
mm-hmm.
ribs. It ain't gonna be high because you're not gonna move him. And what you're doing, you're not really putting it like to knock him out or hurt him. You're just hitting it like a stiff arm and trying to push him back mm-hmm. in front of you.
Okay.
So then you can lock him down and get an engagement.
So you're doing damage while lining up your next shot.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you're just trying to cattle herd him right back in front of you. Right back. And
I got
he
you.
Did none of that.
Okay.
But he never threw a hook. It was all 1-2s. He'd come in there and just 1-2, 1-2. Well, guess what? You come in with some 1-2s, I would have lit you up.
Yeah. That's what the announcers kept saying over and over again, talking about the jabs, talking about – but they kept pointing out Ward was just – nailing him with the jabs, and he was very strategic about him. But Ward seemed to me like the aggressor the whole time. I mean, Ward wanted it and wore him down. I got to ask you about all the body or the low blows.
Yep, that's what I was going to talk about. And here's the thing. People are sitting there talking about the low blows and, oh, it didn't matter. It did. If you've never been in there,
mm-hmm.
it does matter. If you get teed off in the cup,
yeah.
If you get teed off in the cup,
right?
And I mean dead on,
mm-hmm.
and dead on into your manhood,
right?
It's from belly button ish down
mm-hmm.
is tender,
right?
That whole region from right around your top of your groin,
mm-hmm.
where the groin connects to the inside of your thigh, that top,
yeah,
all the way up, that whole spot's going to be tender forever.
Right.
Just, and so anytime he was getting hit again on it,
mm-hmm.
that's why he would pull, because he done got
right.
teed off hard once.
Yeah.
Because the ref stopped it. Ref's like, hey, take your time, or, you know, take your time, you got 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
get your shit back together. But from that point on, It's always a tender spot.
Did it feel like it was intentional to you? Because when they kept rewinding it and going to the slow motion, to me, it didn't look like he was trying to.
No, I agree. I don't think they were intentional. But I don't – and don't get me wrong. I tell all my guys when we're talking about hard shit.
Yeah.
Like, because there's a time in a fight you just got to get nitty-gritty, dig down, stand in front of the dude and say, hey, the toughest dude is going to win.
Right.
You're too good, I'm too good, and we're either going
to
make –
we're done dancing. We're ready to –
yeah, let's get it because it's about an even fight, and we got 2 rounds left.
Yeah.
So let's see who's the best. Let's see whose dog's bigger. And when that point happens, what I'm getting at, when that point of the fight happens, which it got there in those later rounds, I always tell my guys, fuck him, it's a fight.
Yeah.
If he hits you with an elbow, you hit him in the elbow.
Yeah.
If he hits you in the back of the head, well, you hit him in the back of the head.
Right.
You know, I will argue, and it's not going to make a difference if the ref is qualified, but I will still argue and state our opinion.
Yeah.
You know, let me deal with that part. So I don't want to say that was his mindset going in there, but when he was hitting him low with those uppercuts at the end.
Yeah.
But I think it was a little bit of that kind of mindset that he wasn't aiming.
Right.
It was kind of like, I'm not aiming for it, but I'm throwing recklessly because I see you hurt.
See, the first one, I think it could have been argued. Because the first one, I mean, he did. I mean, the dude was—he wasn't slumped over. I mean, he wasn't crouched down. They weren't like they were in a clinch or anything like that. The other ones, I mean, he was working the body. I mean, he'd been working the body the whole match or the whole fight. And then they slowed down the footage a couple of times, and it looked like he just really got the top of the belt. And to me, it didn't look like the belt was right around the waist. I mean, the belt. His trunks were halfway up his torso. I mean, it seemed like he pulled those shorts up a bit, or I don't know. I'm not a fighter though, but none of them really. I mean, the first one could be argued as intentional, but the second two, I mean, they were in a clinch and he was just trying. He was bringing in. So
to me, his trunks weren't
the issue.
Weren't super high.
Were they not?
I didn't. When everyone kept trying to say that, I was like, they're not super high. I mean, they were not much higher than Ward.
High side than normal, basically.
Yeah. I mean, and so I'm like, I'm not just trying to just dog Ward.
Yeah.
Because I got a newfound respect for Ward.
Right.
And then that's where I'm going to. Do I think the low blows were intentional? No. I don't think they were intentional.
Okay.
Do I think they were, they had no, you know, they weren't throwing maliciously, you know, they weren't just a focal point. But were they, I'm not going to say they were thrown intentionally, but it was kind of one of those things that I'm slinging that uppercut just to sling it.
Yeah.
It's coming with everything I got. Whatever it hits, it hits.
Man, he freaking rocked him on a few of those too.
The argument I'm going to give for Ward is it doesn't matter about those nut shots there at the end.
Yeah.
At the very end, those final three, those hard ones that they stopped the fight on.
Right.
They didn't stop the fight. What stopped the fight was that straight right that wobbled Kovalev and made him run backwards.
Yeah.
Because there's an old saying we have in boxing. You get a guy that comes forward and make him go backwards, you're doing something right.
Yeah, they kept bringing that up, too, that they kept putting him on the back foot. Ward was impressive. Now, Ward's got – wasn't they talking about – him chasing, trying to get a big fight. Was it Triple G or Mayweather? Am I thinking of a different fight?
Mayweather was trying to get Triple G to go fight Andre Ward before he would fight. He said, "Beat Andre Ward, and then I'll fight you."
Okay.
But in my opinion, that's just stupid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like saying, Adam, I think you're the best fighter ever, so I want to fight you because I'm the best fighter at my weight class. Let's find a neutral ground and neutral weight, and let's hook it up. And you're like, no, go fight a guy two weight classes heavier.
Yeah.
That's just stupid. I don't care. I love Mayweather to death. I'll say he's the best angle fighter ever.
Yeah.
He's not the greatest fighter ever, but he's the best angle fighter ever. I'll say he's the best of this era.
Mm-hmm.
And you're 49-0. That says a lot.
I heard him reference calling that today the golden age of boxing. That almost made me laugh out loud. I mean,
called it?
One of the announcers.
Called his era?
Time as the golden age. I'm like, really?
Well, the reason a lot of people are saying it's getting ready to be the golden age of boxing, and it's funny, is because Mayweather retired.
Yeah.
People consider Mayweather's like, even though he made a lot of money,
right,
he didn't do anything for the sport.
Yeah.
Because a lot
of self promotion.
Because you talk, and I know you talk to us real boxing people, we can appreciate his fight.
Yeah.
But you talk to the general fan,
Right.
That's why they like the Arturo Gatti, who went in there and just slugged it out and said, let's see who's the bigger man.
Right.
And that's what they felt they paid for.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I seriously disliked about Floyd is Floyd would sit there and say, oh, I'm going to punish you. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do that to you, and then not really do it.
Yeah.
Like, he's sitting there talking about going for the gusto. I'm going to ice this dude, but would never go out. And I understand it's all head games of playing, and, you know, but at some point, you know, you got to man up to those words, you know.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to man up now. The contracts have been signed. The date is official. August 26th at the, was it MGM or Mandalay? We will see Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. It's happening. And everybody listening, call in for that one right now.
Right.
Anybody wants to talk about it, call in, because everybody's been arguing with me on Facebook of why Conor McGregor can do this. Why Conor McGregor? And I'm about to break down why he's going to get his ass kicked.
Before we get into that, what's your prediction?
My prediction?
Do you think he'll go the distance?
Floyd's going to make it go the distance. Yeah, because he's going to want to punish Conor for 12 rounds.
Yeah.
He's going to want – it's going to be an over-the-top glorified sparring match because he's going to make Conor look foolish.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go the distance, I'm making a two-part prediction.
Okay.
Because I'm saying 12-round normal Floyd Mayweather fight.
Okay.
Landslide, judges cards. Floyd's winning it 121-11. That's how I see this.
All right.
120, which means he won every round. 12 rounds, 10-point scoring system. He's getting 121-11. Well, I'm going with 121-11 unless Conor's getting so pummeled and so humiliated his corner throws in the towel late in the fight.
Can you see that happening?
Yes, because if my guy's just sitting there taking damage, I'm not going to let him take damage. I don't care. There's a point in time when you're sitting there getting so hit, so hurt. Even though Floyd's not known as a knockout artist, people get in there and let him hit you and tell me it don't hurt.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, Floyd hits like, does he? Have you been hit, man? No, you haven't.
Yeah.
Why? Because you blink your eyes, bam, you just got hit.
Right.
You turned, you just got hit. It's not the punch that hurts you ain't the one that you see.
Right.
The punch that hurts you is the one you don't see. And Floyd throws a ton of punches you don't see.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's got such hard-headed individuals that he fought still walking forward or stopping when they're coming forward because he tattooed them? They didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And the thing with Floyd is, people are like, oh, well, Floyd runs. Floyd just covers up. Right. Watch him. Watch him. Don't watch. Don't sit there and use your dislike for the man to start judging what he's doing.
Okay.
Watch him. When he's fighting, y'all going to have to watch. I'm doing it from a southpaw stance, but I can still do what I got to do. Floyd covers up, does the old Philly look. They call it Philly shell. I hate that. I just call it the Mayweather because no one said it was a Philly shell until after he did it, which, okay, that's another story. So Floyd will cover up like this and turn his shoulder, roll his shoulder, pick his right hand up to block whatever you're throwing from the left, roll his shoulder from your right.
Right.
But if you watch him, he's watching you. He's watching you. He's catching, bam, 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 all the whole time his eyes are on you.
So he's watching your shoulders. He's
watching
for
your
tails.
Chest. He's watching your chest. I tell all my people, watch the guy's chest.
Yeah.
The body will – watch the middle of his chest because he'll – your body will sell you out as you're fighting. Watch. And what's funny is I took that from Willie Jones Jr.
Right.
Who had the greatest reflexes in history, in my opinion. And Roy Jones said, you know, if you watch a lot of fighters, they're watching here because, and watch my chest. You all watching YouTube. Watch in the center. What turns first? Everything right there. Pop, pop, pop,
right.
Pop, pop. Everything you're going to throw comes. You'll see this section start moving first. So your body always going to sell it out.
Right.
But you just got to get that timing, hope that you're fast enough, hope that he's not fast enough. And at the end of the day, you know what you're getting into, you're going to get hit.
Right.
But like I said, watch Floyd. Floyd's sitting there catching all those shots, watching you. Bam, mm-hmm. bam, bam, bam. I'm watching. There it is. Yeah. I seen you make that one mistake, and he'll make mm-hmm. you pay for it. Pop, pop, real quick.
Yeah.
People sit there and want to bash him, but they don't realize what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Floyd will just pivot one way, throw two shots because he just threw you off your angle. Like, he'll take this angle,
right,
and just take a half step and a pivot,
uh-huh.
and now he's right here.
Yeah.
Now he's right here and can shoot in with a shot because you're just a hair off his angle.
Okay.
Now people sit here saying, well, Connor knocks people out. Yeah, he knocks people out. Good job for him. Good job. Floyd's job for the last 40.
Mm-hmm.
He said he started fighting when he was 11, so 29 years.
Yeah.
His for the last 29 years he's been getting hit in the head.
Right.
You don't think he ain't met someone who has Conor McGregor power?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, I guarantee Canelo Alvarez hits harder than Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Cotto's got a heck of a lot harder hook than Conor McGregor. I'm not trying to dog him, but people sitting here, like I said with Manny Pacquiao, if y'all would have listened to Old City Ringside.
Yeah.
People talk about Conor McGregor's power like he's Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just Conor knocking people out. Conor's knocking people out.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do a lot more than coming in and throwing one punch.
Yeah.
Because he's like, people like, well, look what he did to Jose Aldo. Okay, Jose Aldo, I'll give him credit. Jose was a tough dude who, and what's funny is, I wish I had the thread on the Fightbook mm-hmm. MMA page because they had this video of Aldo hitting mitts, and I said, he's going to get knocked out.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, no. I said, look at him. He's bringing his hands back to his chest. And this is fight day. This is the day before the fight. And he's warming up in Vegas, and his punches, they were slow, real lethargic. And I was like, it could just be because he's warming up. But mm-hmm. then he starts picking it up, and his hands got a little quicker. But when he was throwing, pulling right back to his chest and picking mm-hmm. his hand up. And that's a rookie mistake. That's your coach.
Yeah.
First day one, I tell everybody, your first line of defense, right here.
Yeah.
First line of defense, right here. And y'all watch the video later tomorrow. Because when you throw, tuck your chin. That's another thing. Watch Connor. Yeah. Connor's throwing punches, his head's up like this. Watch the video. You watch, like I said, when he knocked out Aldo, he was sitting there hitting those mitts like this. And then he'd throw, bring it back to his chest, bring it up. Jab, bring it down, pull it back to his face. That's a tenth of a second that you're going to get hit. I'm talking bam.
I don't see any legit argument that Connor's going to be. I mean, he's taking a fish out of a pond and throwing it in a lake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care if you're the biggest man on campus. You're going to a whole new school, buddy. I mean, you're going from one. I mean, it's almost a totally different sport.
It is.
I mean, there's aspects
that are the same
in the both. I mean, there's boxing and MMA, but he's had to been a jack of all trades. He's going against a specialist now. And yes, to people who come with this argument, yes, he boxed in Ireland. Yes, he was the all
gold glove amateur.
Gold glove in Ireland.
And amateur. And, you know, like, If Connor's gonna win,
mm-hmm.
there's a couple aspects he needs to look at.
Right.
He needs to look at, you're fighting a 40-year-old man. Floyd's 40 years old.
Right.
I know he's gonna be the best conditioned 40-year-old you'll ever meet.
Right.
But at the same time, he's 40.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't fought in over a year. How much of that's gonna play in a factor? Now, it's one thing to take a year off when you were 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, mm-hmm. because you were you were younger.
I retract my previous statement. The age is where I think if anything is, it's going to be because of the age.
And like I said, I'll give you everything I'm going to say about Floyd, I can contradict and give Connor a boost.
Right.
You know what I mean? Connor, and the thing is, if you're going to beat Floyd, you have to pick the perfect game.
Yeah,
and that's why no one's beat him.
Yeah.
If I was to watch footage on how to beat Floyd Mayweather, I would watch Jose Luis Castillo 1, which Floyd was in his early 20s, and so that's a little different. I'd watch Jose Luis Castillo Mayweather 1 because everyone said that's a fight Floyd lost.
Okay.
And if you watch Floyd, when he when the final bell rung in 12th round, his head was down. His head was down. He's not happy. He's just like – he looked like a beat man. Well, to him in a split decision. Hey, whatever.
Win is a win.
Yeah. It's a little controversial, and I could state why both sides could have won, but we're not talking that one. I'd watch that fight. I would watch the Oscar fight. Oscar had a decent game plan. He just ran out of juice. He got old in the ring. I'd watch the Shane Mosley fight. Same thing with Shane Mosley. Shane had a good game plan. Shane just got old in there. Shane was
now Mayweather's in that. That's Mayweather's story.
You know, he's going to be the seasoned guy fighting a young kid. But the only thing is, he ain't going to fight a young kid that's a boxer. He's fighting a young kid that's an MMA fighter. But the other one I would watch is the Zab Judah fight.
Okay.
If there's... You catch Floyd when he comes in.
Yeah.
Which Connor is a damn good counterpuncher. He's a counterpuncher in the UFC.
Right.
Floyd has this tendency to let you throw a jab. It's funny because I stole this move from him.
Okay.
Well, Floyd, you'll throw a jab. You have to watch the video. And he'll rock back and then shoot a straight right. So what you got to do is feint that jab, get in a bite. When he comes back, because you can whip that jab and not feint it without throwing it all the way out there. Feint's usually just your shoulder. Right. But you can whip it just to get him trying to bait like a fish.
Okay.
So you do that. Hopefully he rocks back. When he comes in, you shoot your straight right too. Or Connor be a straight left. The other thing is, if you're going to beat him, make it a dogfight. I tell everybody, Floyd has a tendency to back up, and he does this. You have to watch the video game. That he does that shell defense, and he goes sideways against the ropes. Well, I'm going to hit whatever you give me.
Right.
You can complain to the ref after the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So when he does that, turns that shoulder back, I'm hitting the back of that shoulder, that left shoulder that he's got sitting like this.
Yeah.
When he's sitting up like this, I'm going to hit the back of that shoulder. It's going to hit that shoulder blade. It's going to start tightening all that back of those muscles up.
Wow.
I'm going to hit you in the back. I'm going to hit you in that what's that nerve in your back?
The sciatic.
Yeah. I'm gonna hit you in the lower back. Hit that sciatic nerve. Yeah. I'm gonna hit you in the ass cheeks. I'm gonna hit you in the hip. I'm gonna tighten up everything, but I'm gonna make sure when I do it that the ref's on the other side, because all Floyd's gonna go do at that moment is go to the, go to the ref after the match after the round's over and say he's hitting me behind here. He's hit. Well, motherfucker, don't give it to me.
Right. And folks, well, if you're just joining us or joining us late, Arlo's breaking it down, and he's passing on some fighting education, some inside knowledge. We're talking about the Mayweather-Connor fight that is in the books. It will be going on August 26th. It's pretty divided. The Connor fans say it's Connor. Mayweather fans say Mayweather. Personally, I will be flabbergasted if Connor pulled this one out. If he does, it's going to be like winning the lottery. I think it's just one of those things where he's just going to catch him on the right button at the right time and just, holy crap, I just won. To sum it up and not to cut off your breaking it down, what do you think is going to happen if Connor surprises and is there an upset? Do you think there'll be a part two?
If it depends on how he upsets him. If Connor comes out and is in great shape, like I know he can be, and comes out and throws a lot of punches, he's going to throw a lot of punches. He's going to have to offset Floyd's rhythm. He's going to have to dig to the body. He's a southpaw. Zab Judah would jab high, and Floyd catches that. Floyd sees that. But Zab would double. He was fast enough. He would double that jab, boom, boom, drop one down to the body. Zab would throw that jab up high, and Floyd would catch it, bam, shoot that straight left to the body.
So let's go.
If it goes 12 rounds to a decision, rematch.
Okay.
Floyd will not be able to, his ego will not be able to let that go.
Okay.
Floyd gets knocked out. I see it to be extremely more so. He'll retire, not just because of ego. He'll say, man, I'm too old. I shouldn't have been doing this.
Yeah.
And he'll still call it a lucky shot because he's a man and he's a fighter and he's been great for all this time. If he gets knocked out, I see him to retire because he'll know it. Nope. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
But if it's a 12 round decision, he's going to say bullshit. The judges were partly on.
I can see that. I totally see that.
Yep.
Well, we're going to switch gears here because we didn't talk about it all last week. And this is huge, huge, huge news. Speaking of retiring, Bob Stoops has retired. He is leaving the Sooners. And for me, the reason this is, I mean, he's legendary, man. I mean, he is a legend. 18 seasons with the Sooners. How many championships do they got, Arlo?
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I'm not a big Sooner fan, even though we're in Oklahoma.
Right.
And where are my Oklahoma people in? Call in real quick. I can't remember. It's like, I mean, it's a lot. It's like the most in college football.
Well,
I know they got.
They've got the legendary undefeated season.
Yep.
That's one everybody knows. They've spawned some greats from his time.
I'm a Florida State fan.
Okay. What really gets me on and why this is a big story, other than a legend leaving, which people have been calling for him to retire for a while, him and his brother, is sudden. I mean, there was no warning. There was no talk. There was just, he came out in a statement one day and said, guys, I'm done. Deuces. I'm not quoting him there, but I mean, for all purposes, there was no rhyme or reason. He never hinted. He never said, well, this is going to be my last season here, guys. We got one more season. This will be my last one. It's just, I'm retired.
He just bounced on him.
I smell a scandal, man.
I do, too. They let him leave to save face for, you know, if something comes out.
I mean, who's going to walk away from a six-figure, a year thing, countless notarized sponsors, all of this stuff? He was set, dude. And he's just like, eh, I'm done. I'm tired of it. Think I'm going to go home now. but, yeah, legit, man. I really think there's something going on.
Oh, I believe it too, dude. There had to be something just for him to up and quit.
Yeah.
Right before your camp start.
Right.
Right. I mean, he just kind of said, "Okay, hey, I'm done."
Well, don't they usually groom a replacement too?
Well, I mean, when you got a coaching staff as deep as what they got,
yeah,
you probably really don't have to. They probably got the, what's his name, the guy that they brought in. I think he was their offensive coordinator guy. Their coaching staff's already full of people that could be anywhere else that to be a head coach.
Okay.
So when you got that deep of a program, I don't want to say you don't have, you know, people who are qualified.
Right.
But you definitely don't have the exact same leadership quality that Stoops had with the tradition.
Right.
The wins and losses.
Yeah.
The championships, the all that stuff that he brings for for the mentality part of it,
okay,
is what the new guy won't have. But at the same time, like I said, it's super questionable. I agree with you 100%, and I think it's a controversial thing that there's probably something behind the scenes that we didn't see that either was about to get thrown out there.
Right.
So they're like, hey, you probably need to bounce before this comes out.
Do you think it might be his personal stuff, or do you think they're just holding him accountable for all the discipline problems this last season?
I think it's discipline, probably grades.
Because, I mean, we got Baker, got his DUI, which is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Mixon had his assault thing, and I want to say there was a couple of other
issues. And they're all getting not super punished.
Right.
If you notice.
Well, Mixon played the championship game and broke records. Mm-hmm. I mean, many people would argue he won the game for him.
He definitely won that game for him.
And so, I mean, it could have been that classic thing. It was like, well, you're going to have to straighten these boys. I was like, man, I'm bringing home rings. Shut up.
Exactly.
Don't tell me how to coach.
Exactly. And I mean,
you want to coach the team? Screw you. I'm done.
Yeah.
Bye.
And it's probably a lot, like I said, a lot of controversial stuff just about to hit the surface.
Right.
About with that's going on in the program.
Yeah.
That sucks for them.
Yeah.
I see them not to be as good as they were last year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's no way they're getting a championship right after
the mindset's going to be different.
Coach
now.
Change.
You know, coach bounce on is right.
Right.
Before.
Well, and Mixon's gone.
Yeah.
And a lot of their coaches are gone. But, you know, we are dwindling down. It's about that time. So before we break this down and end it for the night, I'm Adam, and for the AA meeting, remember, folks, you can check us out, AA Meeting Podcast, on Facebook. Our email address is aameetingpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, AA Meeting Pod. Also, we are looking for sponsors, folks. Help us pay the bills, man. And
help us keep the lights on.
You bet. And the better the sponsors, the better the show's going to get for you guys, from sound quality to internet, all that good stuff. The more money, the more production. And I'm a big production guy. So if you've got a business, a special event, an organization, or something that you want some promotion for, email us at aameetingpodcast@gmail.com. We can talk some pricing and work something out. But that's it for me, and we're going to switch this over to Arlo for some words to live by.
You know, I don't know. I'm a little fired up this evening. I don't know, because I got that late workout in, so it's doing it after the show. So you know what? I'm going to leave y'all with some little bit of what we got to do to be successful in life, man. That's what I'm trying to be right now. You know, all success in life starts with self-discipline. All starts with you. I tell everybody every day, use the shit that you've been through your whole life to get you motivated for today. Because what good is going through all that if you ain't going to use it to get motivated for today? And people are like, well, you know, I tell everybody, you know, motivation gets us started, dedication keeps us going. So get your motivation, get your dedication, let's get moving, let's make things happen. Because one of the most important things is life, the most important thing is life that you can accomplish is just being yourself. That's, I cannot stress that enough. People always want to be someone else or let someone else tell them who they got to be. You know what? Till next week, like we always do about this time, keep living strong, keep training strong, most importantly, baby, keep loving strong. AA meeting. Till next Sunday, we out.